the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, good morning, good morning. It's great to get up and know that I've got a group of guys and girls to speak to every morning. It drives me every day. Honored to be able to do it. I was telling Michelle last night as we were nodding off, I was nodding off. You know, it's amazing. We've been doing this show now for, what, three and a half years, every day, five days a week, an hour. And for the most part, we kept this thing pretty fresh, you know? We kept it pretty fresh. There's a lot of shows out there that or YouTube videos, different guys I listen to on the YouTube video. If the Clinton thing goes away, if the Trump thing goes away, they're not going to have anything to talk about. That's all they talk about 24 hours a day. Every show is the same. Limbaugh, I listen to Rush Limbaugh. If the Mueller probe goes away, I don't know what Rush is going to talk about. He'll always find something to talk about. A lot of them. I just thank God and pray that every time you come here, a little bit hoarse today. I don't know why. Every morning when you come here, you say, golly, what's the Holy Spirit going to talk about today? And I'm honored that you would be here with us because, man, the world is on fire and the culture is disintegrating. Hey, pass the salt. And a lot of things on the plate as usual. Let me catch my rhythm here. I was thinking today about, let's go to the schedule. Let's do that. Cause if I get rolling down that, that rabbit hole, I'll never get back. Excuse me. Jared, pull that thing up. I've got some things that I have not spoken about recently that I got to make sure we begin moving towards. Here's the good news. Good news. Had a good talk with Gary Pierce last night. Gary's one who organized the whole event up at in Canton, Occupy 2019. And after the whole mess is done and over, can I take a deep breath? I think we broke even. And of course, the goal is never to make money. That's not why I do it. But also, the goal is not to lose money. But praise the Lord. The numbers came out pretty good. And by the way, if you'd still like to have access to that, and we're going to add a feature here at some point. We're going to add an Occupy 2018 and 2019 access to people behind the paywall. So we're still if you want, I'm getting off track here. Sorry. Soon you're going to be able to watch last year's conference on our website as well. And we're gonna do what we call paywall. People can get in there, but even right now, you can go there and go to Occupy 2019. Click on the live stream and have access to all those videos that from this last weekend. It was a great event, and I think you do well to be able to do that. So the schedule, a lot of stuff going on. I've been bogged down for 2 weeks. Not as bogged down as Gary's been, trying to pull all the stuff up. But I want some things I got to make sure we cover. May 10th. Bobby Lee is organizing a huddle in Louisville, Kentucky. Louisville. Now, OJ and all you guys down there in Kentucky, come on, man, step up. We need you. We're doing a huddle event on Friday night at, the information is there on the screen, a huddle event at the hotel, at the Quality Inn and Suites in the conference room. And then Saturday morning, we're going to go to the abortion clinic, the last remaining abortion clinic in Kentucky, which, by the way, it was 2 years ago, or was it 3 years ago? I lose track of time. The Gang of 11 was arrested for allegedly blocking the door of the abortion clinic, the Mother's Day rescue of Planned Parenthood. So that huddle and scrimmage is going to take place May 10th and 11th. in Louisville, Kentucky. All the information you need is right there. Bobby Lee's arranging that. As you know, Bobby lives in up in Pennsylvania, but Bobby is from the Louisville area. So he is sticking a flag down in the ground there, too. We love to have all of you down there in that Kentucky area, southern Ohio, maybe other areas, be able to come to that event. The information is there on the screen. Scroll on down, Jared. The next one is the Hear the Watchman Conference, going to be in Long Island. It's May 31st, June 2nd. It's really different, man. It's a spiritual warfare conference, and it's Russ Dizdar, Mrs. Dizdar, Shelly Dizdar, Tom Dunn, and Russ's team, and me. Now, how I got in this, I don't know. But that's being held May 31st. All the information, again, is on the website there. Hear the Watchman. It is a spiritual warfare conference. Man, I'm hoarse this morning. I don't know why. And then something we really, really want to begin, two things we really want to begin to promote here. Well, a lot of things we really want to begin to promote. One's not even on the calendar yet. The national event, All Hands on Deck. Come to Ohio, boys and girls. Come to Ohio. We did it last year. We had 77 people from 21 different states. We want to double that. We got a lot of great plans going on. You can camp. We're going to set up a big tent. It's going to be an awesome event. And the weather's going to be good. It's right on Buckeye Lake. Mike Blake lets us use his beautiful 3-acre lot right on the lake. We set up. Put that on your calendars. June 14, 15, and 16. And by the way, listen to me. We're going to begin Friday morning. We're going to start this on Friday morning. So that means you got to travel in on Thursday. It means you may have to take a day off work or whatever. Folks, please come and join us. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful event. Slide on down, Jared. A couple more things. I'll get these in. I'm not going to go through all of them. A regional huddle with Coach Dave. I'll be honest with you. I don't even know what the heck that is. June 22nd, Saturday, June 22nd. Where is that? In Oregon. I'm sorry. Sorry, Tim. Oh my goodness. I got to get a hold of Tim too. And that one's in Oregon. So you folks that are clear out west, out on the left coast out there, we're going to be in Oregon. Tim, I'm sorry. I sounded so stupid on that one. So what the heck's going on? And then are you ready for this one? I got to throw another one right in there. We don't have it up there yet, but begin to put that on your calendar as well. June 26th is the anniversary of the Obergefell decision, the gay marriage decision. And Mike and Polly Heath are organizing an event at the U.S. Supreme Court. I know it's a Wednesday, but it's a significant day, June 26th, because that was the day that the decision came down, and we're going to have a renewal of wedding vows. We're going to call the couples from all across America to come there. That's June 26th. We don't have it up there yet. July 26th, Go Ye Therefore conference with Dr. Mike Spaulding. Dr. Mike, are you in the huddle this morning? My goodness, the list of speakers that you're having there blew me away. Can you come in, Mike? I don't know if you're able to this morning or not. Maybe he might be in a position where he can't really come in. But there it is, man. So there's a lot of good stuff going on. Great speakers, Michael Lake, Russ Dizdar, L.A. Marzulli, on and on, Bradley Dean, David Arthur, Leighton Howerton, Rob Pugh, Jamie Waldron, Doug Wood, what a crew, Carl Gallus, Russ, gosh, John Haller. He's going to need a big building just for all the speakers. Mark Sutherland's coming in, David Heavener, Harrington, Dunn. Put that on your calendar. That's July 26th. Is that what it was? So, man, we got a lot going on. Got a lot going on. Pray for us, folks. The opposition gets greater and greater every day against what we're doing. We're moving up on the, as my buddy used to say, moving up on the devil's hit list. We're just okay. I'll tell you. There's a lot of. Why can't we play? Why can't we play well together? Why can't we play well? You know, there's nothing that will destroy a team more than infighting. And as I've said before, there's just, man, we got to put down our swords against each other. Bro, boys and girls, no matter how much you disagree with me, I am not your enemy. I am not your enemy. No matter how much you disagree with somebody else in the queue, they are not your enemy. In the, yeah, I'm just going to leave it at that, boys. Just going to leave it at that. God's whittling down the team, and we are moving forward. Excuse me. I feel like somebody's got something to say before I dive into. Anybody have? Oh, don't forget, tomorrow, I almost forgot, we are doing communion tomorrow. Communion. You come with your own, whether it be juice, wine, whatever, and your own wafer. And I tried to get a hold of Larry yesterday. He's on vacation down seeing his dad. I'm trying to get Larry in to lead us in communion at the end of the show. If Larry doesn't make it, we'll still figure out a way to do it. And it'll be a great thing here on Good Friday. And say, yes, can I? You say, Coach, I just watched it on tape delay. Can I do it on tape delay if I just watch it on YouTube? Or, yeah, sure can. Love to have you be part of it. I'm in Galatians chapter 3 today. Don't know why. Oh, listen. I had the greatest time yesterday at Thomas Worthington High School with us high school kids. If you remember, I was there 2 weeks ago, and I really, really lit them up good 2 weeks ago. And this yesterday when I went in, I didn't really know exactly what to expect when I went in. And so I just went in, and I gave them a couple-minute tongue-lashing about how stupid they are, believing everything everybody tells them, not doing any research. They've been lied to. And then I opened the floor up for questions and answers. Wow! It was amazing. You know what I found out? Man, it's sad. There's no understanding of the gospel in America at all. No understanding of it. The Christian kids in the classroom don't understand the gospel. And there's nothing that will destroy a society faster, I think, me, than cold, dead religion. Many of them hate Christianity. These young 17, 18-year-old kids, they hate Christianity. They don't even know what it is, but they hate it. They hate it because they see it as nothing as rules and regulations. I got to explain the gospel to them. I got to explain to them yesterday the demonic realm. I got to explain to them yesterday how God is a spirit, and those who worship him in spirit, and how the spirit came into his son Jesus in the womb, because the only way you can get into this world is through a body, and Jesus was born, and he died and was crucified for our sins, and that the wages of sin is death, and that's why he had to die. And then when he was resurrected, he walked around for 40 days, and then after 40 days he left, but he said, I'm not going to leave you alone. When I leave, I'm going to leave you somebody behind that can help you, and that somebody left behind is the comforter, is the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, then you don't have the computer app. Most of you in there, even though you go to church, have never had the download. You've never had the download of that app, so you don't understand the things that I say. It was as bold and open. I should have had an altar call. It was as bold and open as a presentation of the gospel I've ever made in any public school, ever, ever. And it was amazing. I had this young Muslim girl who couldn't get away from me at the end of the class. She would not leave me. Question after question after question. Defending her own, but questioning. It was a fabulous, fabulous. And I don't know how we've gotten to the point in America where we have such a, oh my goodness. What is it I say? Religion is the dead. Religion is a dead faith of those now living. Religion is the dead faith of people walking around the world. It's just religion. It's dead. Dead faith. But Christianity is the living faith of those now dead. Christianity is something that has survived for 2,000 years, passed down from generation to generation, overcome all types of obstacles. That is the vibrant Christianity that if we're going to move forward in America, we're going to have. Let me pontificate here just one more minute. It's interesting as I began to reflect a little. The world's on fire. The culture is disintegrating. Have you guys seen the number of churches that have been burnt in France? I don't even know if there are any Christians left in France.
Three churches, Dave. I've read it's three churches a day.
Yeah. They're going to, the world's on fire, folks. And what we need to, what's our takeaway from it? Don't ever forget this. A lot of times, most times, things that happen in the world are a manifestation of something that's happening in the spirit. And it's not by chance that that great cathedral of Notre Dame, Our Lady, went up in flames. Western civilization is on fire. It's on fire.
Hey, Coach. And
if we don't, hang on, Vinny, if we don't wake up and if we don't understand it, we are seeing the last gasp of Christianity in Western civilization. Because I can promise you this, if we're counting on those kids in that classroom that I was in yesterday, buddy, it ain't going to go very far. But the Lord's not going to allow that to happen. There's a great revival and spiritual awakening that's coming. But we have to move back. We have to welcome once again the supernatural back into our churches. And until we welcome the supernatural back into our churches, the supernatural everywhere we go. Alan Zeifer, I had a conversation with Alan the other day. He told me something that was profound. He has a shirt that he wears. Alan, I don't have that picture up there. He has a shirt that goes around and just says on it something similar to, what's it say, Alan? What's your shirt say?
Need prayer, ask me.
Need prayer, ask me. And people come up to him all the time, simply with a shirt, need prayer, ask me. And see, people are just hoping that there's a God, just hoping that a God could do something, just hoping maybe some little twiddle of hope, maybe there's a God and maybe he'll intervene. What a sad state of affairs we see in the American church, the worldwide church. America is behind the disintegration. We are the bastions of holding up Christ and his standard. Brothers, we're under serious, serious attack as well. Sorry, Vinny, go ahead.
Amen. So I found out yesterday that the Al-Aqsa Mosque was also burned at the same time as the church was. And also, it's been reported that there was an image of Christ in the burning of the church that a couple of people have captured.
Well,
so maybe there we go.
Well, then I'm not making fun of you. I see people say, did you see that cloud formation? Look, there's a cross there. So that's chemtrails. Hey, did you see that? There's an image of angels in the cloud. Look at that. There's an angel up there in the clouds. No, it's sunlight, the way the sun's hitting. Here's the message I received from it. The world's on fire. Christianity is on fire. Christianity is under assault. And under whether somebody set it on fire, whatever, it doesn't matter, friends. Christianity is on fire, and it's on fire, and we don't even understand it's on fire. We don't care that it's on fire. Europe is collapsing. Christian Europe is collapsing. It's coming to America, and we don't even see it nor understand it. Our churches still don't get it. We see homosexuals. Come on in here, Roger. I feel you. What do you want to say?
Well, I think the broader thing is Western civilization is on the ropes. If you look at how great nations and people have fallen, the enemy is right outside the camp of Western civilization. They are the current Huns right now. They are the current barbarians. Western civilization is on the ropes in many areas, whether it's religious, sexual, economy, and our hope is in Christ. Our hope is in Christ.
Amen. 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 Jared, I was going to go to Galatians. The Lord just took me away from Galatians. So you can pull that down and pull up for me, if you will. Pat Buchanan's commentary. It's the third thing down. It says the world's on fire. We'll come back to Galatians. Roger, this is exactly what you were talking about. Have you seen some of the advertisements on Facebook for Easter services? Have you seen some of them? Egg drops out of helicopters, bouncing, those bounce houses you get into. I mean,
they are doing anything to try to get people to come to the cross.
That's right.
When outside of America, revival has always been through his word. Russia, China. Believe me, China has no bounce houses.
No, they don't. They're hiding. They're in hiding. I don't usually do this, but Pat Buchanan wrote such a profound thing today that I decided I was going to share this with you. It's called Mayor Pete and the Crackup of Christianity. Mayor Pete, I don't even know how to mention that. Can you believe that America is actually considering a 35-year-old man who's only been a mayor to be president of the United States? That shows you how cracked up we are, doesn't it? Giving serious, he's raised millions of dollars, Mayor Pete, 35 years old, of some little podunk town. I don't even remember the name of the town. South Bend, Indiana, right? And he's a homo. And he when he announced he was running, he kissed his homo friend as a son. So Pat Buchanan succinctly says this. Bear with me. I know you guys wouldn't read it if I didn't take it on here. Here's what it says. There's nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. That's what Hamlet said. Is moral truth subjective? Does it change with changing times and changing attitudes? Or is there a higher law, a permanent law, God's law, immutable and eternal, to which man's law should conform? Folks, you won't believe this. This is exactly what I asked those kids yesterday at Thomas Worthington. It's exactly what I asked them. Are, for example, the Ten Commandments of the Old Testament, Christian teaching and natural law, unchangeable and applicable to all men at all times? Is it, fellas? Is natural law unchangeable and applicable to all men at all times? Or can some of the ten be consigned to the dumpster of antiquated moral prohibition? This question has been brought straight to the presidential debate by Mayor Pete, breakout star of 2009. Mayor Pete's proudly gay and living happily with his husband. He says God made him the way he is. He's living the life God intended for him. Raising the same-sex marriage issue himself, the mayor defiantly taunted Mike Pence. Yes, Mr. Vice President, it has moved me closer to God. That's the thing I wish the Mike Pences of the world would understand. That if you have a problem with who I am, your quarrel is not with me. Your quarrel, sir, is with my creator. See, Mayor Pete was made that way, right? Mayor Pete declared his candidacy Sunday and bid us ensures that America's deepening moral divide will be front and center in 2020. Our cultural wars will not be ending anytime soon. Okay, boys, you sitting down? Are you sitting down? This weekend, General Social Survey data revealed that Americans who profess to have no religion is now 23.1%. Americans with no religion. Catholics are 23%. So that's the largest religion. So now there are more people with no religion than there are Catholics at 23. And evangelicals at 22.5. And the nuns have grown by 266% since 1991. I wonder why that is. As for the mainstream Protestant congregations, together, they are not half as numerous as those Americans who profess no religion. You take all the mainstream religions, and they're only about 12%. Add to our racial and ethnic diversity, America is growing more diverse religiously, de-Christianizing with all deliberate speed. We're becoming another people in a post-Christian America that appears to be our destiny well before the end of this century. Consider what has already changed. Are you sitting down, Roger? Are you guys sitting down? Because until we remember where we were, we're not going to remember know where we are. In the 19th century, blasphemy was a crime. In the roaring 20s, the vices of booze and gambling were outlawed. 100 years ago in America, it was illegal to drink beer. Now they're the major sources of state revenue, vices. Divorce was a rarity. But now, half of all marriages are dissolved. After the sexual revolution of the 60s, births out of wedlock rocketed to where 40% today of all children are born without a father in the home, as are half of the Hispanics and 70% of all black children. I'm going to say that again. 40% of white children are born without a father, 50% of Hispanics, 70% of all black children. Pornography, which, by the way, used to bring a prison term, today dominates cable TV. Marijuana wants the social scourge, and also bringing a prison sentence is the hot new product. And Senator Kamala Harris wants prostitution legalized. In the lifetime of many Americans, homosexuality and abortion were still scandalous crimes. Now, they're cherished constitutional rights. Now, Mayor Pete is running boldly and proudly as an open homosexual. Yet Mayor Pete's assertion that God made him gay, and God intended, I wonder where Mayor Pete learned that, and God intended that he live his life this way, and that this life is moral and good, well, that's another milestone on the road to hell. You don't mind me saying so. But what Mayor Pete is saying is that either God changes his moral law to conform to changing behavior of mankind, or that for 2,000 years, Christian preaching practiced towards homosexuals has been bigoted, injurious, and morally indefensible. Read that again. If Mayor Pete is right, for 2,000 years, all of Christianity has been wrong. If Pete is right, since the time of Christ, Christians have ostracized and persecuted gays simply for being and behaving as God intended. And if that is true, then what is the defense of Christianity? Already among a good slice of America, especially the young, the West is guilty of centuries of racism, imperialism, colonialism, slavery, sexism, ethnic cleansing, religious persecution, and cultural genocide against indigenous peoples. I got two questions yesterday from kids about the way we treated the Indians. Where are they hearing that? Now, according to Mayor Pete's logic, the West is also guilty of centuries of hateful homophobia toward people living as God made them and intended them to live. So what does this tell us about 2020? Well, while Democrats defend Mayor Pete's same-sex marriage as moral, they will also insist that women's reproductive rights remain sacrosanct, that unborn infants, 60 million of whom have been killed in the womb since Roe versus Wade, still have no rights at all, not even the right to life. So there's a right to be a homosexual, but not a right to be born. How does a nation so divided ever come together? How can a nation, many of whose elites are so ashamed of its history and heritage and deplorable other half as racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, and bigoted, how can a nation credibly claim to be a shining city on a hill or a light unto the nations? America today is powerful, prosperous, and free as any nation in the world has ever been. We've used that wealth and freedom to create a culture and a society many of our own people and much of the world now sees as desolate and decadent. Post-Christian America, in many ways, is beginning to mirror what we were once taught that the pre-Christian Roman Empire looked like. Indeed, if the mayor's lifestyle is moral, then Christianity got it wrong for 20 years. Century. That's it, isn't it? See, Christians trying to defend Christianity. Here's what happens. We all think life begins the moment we're born. History begins the moment we are born. Those kids yesterday saying, well, yeah, coach, but things are changing. Values are changing. That's old fashioned. All that stuff. Over and over and over again. And here are Christians. I went on a rant at one point yesterday. I said, are you kidding me? 2,000 years for 2,000 years. Not last year, not the 1950s, not the 1930s, not the 1910s, not the 1820s. For 2,000 years, the banner of Christianity has flown as truth. It has made it through wars. It's made it through all type of attacks. The banner of Christianity, Christ stands still today. Yet the 18-year-old kids today think everything is different. Nothing is true since the day they were born. And the church has been complicit in allowing that to take place. And today, even, the church won't stand up and say what Pat Robertson said, or I'm sorry, Pat Buchanan said, homosexuality has been wrong for 2,000 freaking years.
Hey, Coach, and nothing has changed. In fact, I wish you could have E. Michael Jones on the show, because he has it down perfectly. And this is what it is: these freaks want to turn America into a gay disco.
Well, it's worse than that, Vinny.
Yeah,
they want to destroy Christianity.
Yes,
at the fundamental base of all of this, don't ever forget it. It's the destruction of Christianity. Dare I take you back to Psalm 2? Yes, I will. Jared, I'm sorry to be repetitive. Go back to Psalm 2. Folks, this is bigger than, oh my goodness. Play in church. Just play in church. Dropping Easter eggs out of helicopters.
That's it. Play in church. Exactly. Play in church.
It's a bunch Why of does the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth. So there are kings of the earth, and they set themselves, and the rulers of the earth take counsel together against the Lord. There is a group of people whose main focus is the destruction of Christianity in Christ, the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. They take counsel together. They conspire together to do what? Against the Lord. And against his anointed, saying what? Let us break their bands asunder. Let's cast away all restraint. Let's do whatever we want to do. My body, my choice, my. Let's get rid of all this religion stuff. Let's get that all off of us. And they're doing it. And God's people are sitting around letting it be done. In the high school right here, I don't know how many of you know this, Hebron Lakewood School District, where I live, where my children would go, my grandchildren would go, where I graduated, where my grandchildren would go if they were in public school, which praise the Lord, they are not, where 3 years ago, or six years ago, I was on the verge of being hired as the football coach at my local high school. And the homosexual mafia from Columbus, Ohio, came out and raised such a ruckus that the spineless school board buckled and didn't hire me because I might not be fair to homosexuals. At that same school district today, do you know this? There is now a cross-dresser substitute teaching. So it's very, very clear, if you're a Christian, you're not welcome in the school. If you're a man and you dress like a woman, come on in, baby. Come on in, baby.
Not just come on in and put down the red carpet for that freak.
No, no, no. Not only that, put him in a position of authority over children. And can you get a peep? A friend of mine was talking to somebody the other day who has a child in the school district, and had mentioned the fact that I was kind of upset about it. I wanted to do something about it. And that person said, are you ready? Will you let your brother know we're with him? But we can't say so publicly. So he that sits in the heavens is laughing. Not, but, oh, yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Yeah, you're going to cast off the court. Yeah, right you are. Then he shall speak unto them in his wrath, vex them in his sore displeasure. And I hate to tell you this, we still don't have any concept of what that's going to look like when that happens. We don't think it's going to happen. We think we're going to evade it somehow. But even if we do, we don't even love our neighbor enough to tell him what's going to happen when we're out of here. We don't even love them enough to tell them. We don't even love them enough to tell them, you know, that tranny coming in there teaching your kids, call me here in about, I don't know, about 8 years when your child's questioning their sexuality. Call me. Ask me how that happened, will you? They don't care. Well, you know, I wouldn't do it. I personally don't agree with it, but who am I to? We have lost our stinking minds. Then he shall speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Boy, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill Zion, and I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, are you watching? And I shall give you the heathen. We're supposed to be the heathen, our inheritance. We're supposed to go make them capitulate. That's what we're supposed to do. Verse 11, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Man, I've done is talk. Somebody come on in here.
Hey, Coach. Nostratate, yeah. Right? Nostratate was supposed to be, what you call conduct, conversation between the Jews and Gentiles, right?
Right.
And what it was supposed to be was no one can hurt the Jews, right? That's part one of Nostratate. The other part is the Jew cannot destabilize society. I think what happened was we got a one-sided deal.
Mm. We got a one-sided deal for sure, Vinny. Boy, that's a whole nother bag. No. Come on in, Joe.
I can't stress enough. One of the things that technically authorizes homosexuality is that it's not in the Ten Commandments. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Gives them authorization. But it is in Leviticus 20:13.
Thou shalt not commit adultery.
If a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. It still applies.
Silver.
Romans 1 says the exact same thing, just says it in a different way. Romans 1, go ahead.
No, Silver, we were in a church Sunday morning up at Occupy, who literally a person who had worshiped there for 10 years said, we really don't pay much attention to the Old Testament. This is what is going on. Dave, I'd love to have our resident historian, that is Lowell, I think he's on. If Lowell would give us a minute and you're okay with it, just his thoughts on Western civilization and the fall of it as it's tied to Christianity. Lowell, do you got any comment?
Well, Western civilization is so interwoven with Christianity that they're the same thing. That's it. They are the mm-hmm. same thing. Your
foundation.
Your laws.
It's the point I tried to make to those kids yesterday. See, when Notre Dame burnt down, eventually if it kept burning, it would get to the foundation. The world's on fire. See, at some point, everything's going to crumble and we're going to get down to the foundation. And Psalm 11:3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And the foundations are being destroyed right in front of us. And we won't even stand up and fight for it. Go ahead, Lowell.
Well, I was just going to say, I just read something this morning. You know, Notre Dame is a Catholic cathedral, but it represents the supreme confidence of the men that built it, that conceived of it, and spent 200 years pulling it together. The supreme confidence they had in their faith and in their God, and how it was only the solution, no other. There's no little enclave there for Islam, or they didn't have any Buddhist interpretations coming in. It was for the glory of Jesus Christ, period. Now, they burned it down. It got burnt down, as we know, and they're going to rebuild it, perhaps as a temple of eukonymity, of oneness, something historical as opposed to a testament of faith. So that's what we've come to.
Mm-hmm. You know, here's another great illustration, Lowell. And I point this out. Anybody that's ridden on the in a car with me on going through a freeway, going through a town, I always tell them this: look out your window and look for steeples. Look for steeples. Remember driving through Milwaukee, looking out over the horizon, looking for the church steeples. You don't even see them on the modern evangelifish churches. There aren't even steeples anymore. They don't want people to know they're Christian. When you think about Notre Dame, why was Notre Dame built with such magnanimity, so big with steeples? And when you drive through towns and you look out, Milwaukee, and you see all the steeples out there, because the message was being sent that we are here to stay. Look at these cathedrals that Jared has on the screen there. We are here to stay. Christ is here to stay. We have planted our flag, and boom, there's our steeple high above everybody else because we are here to stay. Now our churches are malls. Why? Because we're not here to stay. We're not here to occupy. We're just hanging on in this nice building till Jesus comes and destroys all this mess around us. So the contrast that you see between the cathedral at Notre Dame, a historical cathedral that took 100 years to build, 100 years to build, and has stood for 5 centuries, to the mall that we went to on last Sunday in Akron. It's stark. The comparison is stark. We just blend in. We're just one of another type of business. We're not a thus saith the Lord operation anymore. It grieves me. But that's what we have to fight for, fellas. Somebody else, come on in. I got someone. Yes.
Another example of the collapse. The Supreme Court's abortion decision is protested by tens of thousands of people, mostly Roman Catholic, once a year, with a march. 4 years ago, the Supreme Court, the same Supreme Court, eliminated civil marriage in the United States. And of course, because the United States has so much power in the world, with that decision that was made by only a one vote majority, the Supreme Court is destroying civil marriage in the entire world. But yet, you and I, Coach, have been on the steps of the Supreme Court every year since that decision. How many groups have stood with us? How many pastors have called their churches to come down there and to do something about this? How many pro-family groups have organized something to reverse Obergefell? How many?
Settled law, Mike. It's settled law. See, yes, it's settled in heaven. The marriage is between a man and a woman. It is settled law.
And Coach.
And my point, Coach, is not that nobody shows up for it. It's that I think it's instructive, especially as we think about Genesis and God's judgment of the of Sodom and Gomorrah. It represent. This is a picture of the collapse of the morality of the West.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that the Roman Catholic Church turns out tens of thousands on abortion, 40 years after the decision, but the decision still stands, and Protestantism is so weak in its resistance to abortion, comparatively speaking, to the Roman Catholic Church. But both the Roman Catholic Church, which is fighting homosexual corruption all the way up to the Pope right now in the hierarchy, as well as the Protestant Church, completely ignore the elimination of civil marriage from the world. It's instructive.
We've exported homosexual marriage. We've done that one. Yeah, see, the Catholic Church has lost all of their credibility and all of their authority because of the infiltration of the pedophile priests. They've lost all moral standing. So they just want to lay low and get the target off of them. Come on in, Dale.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Because if the engagement of that sin is happening,
you have no spiritual authority because you're in spiritual bondage anyway.
Right.
But going back to the question on homosexuality, not in the Ten Commandments, yes, it is. It says to honor your father and mother, brother, because in a marriage where there's a man and a man, there is no honor. Where there's a woman and a woman, there is no honor. There is no procreation. Matthew chapter 18, I believe it is, says that in the beginning he made them male and female. So in the Ten Commandments, it's the honor your father and mother. And that's what it is.
That's it, brother. Hey, listen, I'm going to shift gears just because of the prompting of the Holy Spirit, because I'm going to show you something, man. Jared, pull up my commentary. Some of you have probably already read it. Bear with me because I think it's appropriate. And I think it's one of the most significant things in my life that I've ever written. That says a lot. I've written some pretty good stuff, but I want you to follow along here. The title of today's commentary that I wrote was Thou Shall Not Covet. Okay? Thou shall not covet. At times, it's possible to analyze a situation and miss the most simple of concepts. How often do we find ourselves trying to dig ourselves out of a pit without truly understanding how we got into it? We spend a lot of time questioning ourselves and others when the solution is often right before our eyes. Here's the question, folks. Can God bless disobedience? Is it possible for God to put his stamp of approval upon something that he told us not to do? Is it possible that sometimes the problems that we see around us really do have a simple solution, even though the problem is massive? Do large problems really begin as small ones? When's the last sermon you heard in your church on coveting? Correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't the admonition against coveting one of the things that God carved into the stones that he gave to Moses? Could it be that one of the reasons that we Americans find ourselves in a financial pit is as simple as our disobedience to a basic principle of life? Thou shall not covet. Read it right there in Exodus 20. Oh, I know it's only number 10 on the list, but what a foolish people we have become because of our desire to ignore it. In fact, the command is very specific. Let me stop there a second, guys. If you look at the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not, my brain's gone dead, shall not lie. Look at the depth of the Tenth Commandment. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is his neighbor. That's a pretty exhaustive list. I wonder why we don't hear more about coveting in our churches. Permit me to share a story with you. I was out on a public playground with my grandchildren the other day, and as often happens, they began to play with the other children on the playground. Soon some trouble reared its head as they began to argue over a toy with another child on the playground. I moved in to scold my grandchildren for not sharing, but the other child's father beat me to the punch. Nathan, the total stranger firmly said to his son, what have I said to you about coveting? Your new friend's toys do not belong to you, and you have no right to them. Stop expecting to play with something that doesn't belong to you. The young father then turned to me. I apologize for our son. We teach him not to covet. Please forgive us for causing a disturbance. I stood there with my mouth agape as the man and his young son walked hand in hand towards their car. Think of the condition that America would be in today if we had all simply been taught that to covet was just as wrong as to steal. In fact, all thieveries began as coveting. I thought about that brief exchange on the playground all the way home. As parents and grandparents, we regularly find ourselves teaching our little ones to share, which is a noble thing to do. Yet how many of us take time to point out the destructive nature of coveting? It was so important to God that it made his top 10 list. Not important enough to teach it to our children. most of America's problems have at the very root, the sin of covetousness. Sadly, our American government encourages coveting. What do you think taxation and social programs are all about? Is it not wrong to take from one, give to another, simply because they need it? Isn't charity something that comes from the heart? Is not more than an expression of love toward one who is in need? Isn't that battle between the rich and the poor nothing more than jealousy over coveting what someone else has accumulated? Is it possible to counter greed through coveting? Don't government handouts reinforce the sin of coveting? Why are millions of illegal aliens storming our borders? Is it not because they desire to have a better life by taking from Americans the things that do not belong to them? Aren't all of these social justice churches reinforcing the sin of coveting to those who are illegally streaming across our borders? Isn't the government rewarding their sin? Aren't those bleeding heart liberals contributing to the sin of guilt tripping the rest of us for not giving in to the border jumpers? Covetousness? Help me here. Isn't covetousness just as sinful as theft? Don't the two go hand in hand? Would we have the economic disparity that we have in this nation if we taught people that it is wrong to desire to have what someone else has earned? If I'm taught that it is wrong not to share, then why are others not taught that it is wrong to expect to take from me what they have no right to? Thou shalt not covet. With all of the moral issues that we are dealing with, isn't it amazing that the heart of every one of them is the desire to have what does not belong to you? Can you say adultery? The Bible's truths are often harsh. Living a true Christian life is not an easy task. The Bible calls us to be cheerful in our giving, and it is hard to be cheerful when one is coerced. The wickedness of the American government can be seen in its politics. Stealing from the haves and giving to the have-nots is not a biblical principle. It is a violation of at least two of the Ten Commandments. So Christians, try this admonition from the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians. Try this on for size. Ready, boys and girls? Here's what Paul said. For yourselves, know how you ought to follow us. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for nothing. In other words, neither did we eat any man's bread and not paying for it. But with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto those who follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now, them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Perhaps it's time we quit pointing our fingers at those who don't want to give and focus on those who simply want to take. Sadly, the word of God is a double-edged sword. Thou shalt not covet. It's not very Christian, is it? That's not very Christian. You look at the things that are going on in America and how complicit the American church is in simply ignoring the basic precepts that God laid out. God's love. God loves everyone. Yeah, he says you don't work, you don't eat. which set of rules? Is it cafeteria Christianity? Is that what it is? You pick and choose which verses you want to follow? That's pretty clear, boys and girls. And it's a root of all, not all, but 90% of all sin is covetousness, is bitterness, is greed in the heart of men. The church has fallen totally and completely complicit with it. Somebody come in, rescue me.
Covetousness is wickedness.
Have any of you heard a sermon? Have you heard a sermon on thou shalt not covet? Roger, you heard one on thou shalt not covet? Kevin, anybody heard it? John, Jeff, anybody heard a sermon in your church on thou shalt not covet? Do you teach your kids not to covet? Or do you teach them to share? They got to share. They got to share. They got to share. They got to share. No, no, no. You don't have to share. You don't have to
share. Yeah. I'm going to talk about something that's a little different, but let's say we covet our children. We covet sacrifice. What happens whenever you got to think about evil, evil, evil to think about it this way? Why are we being charged for abortion? If abortion becomes legal, why wouldn't they pay us to make babies so they could have them? Why? Yeah. When are we going to soon be paid to harvest blood for people to consume? When are we going to be paid for people that covet the conception of our children? Think about it. That's evil. That's raw evil. But I see if we lose this abortion fight, Coach, people are going to be paid, and that'll be an income to go have babies for these abortions.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Because of what they want to do with them. My goodness, Mark. Somebody help me wrap it up.
Everything comes back to personal responsibility, Coach. And it's easy, it's just simple. And I heard it early in before the show. If we'll lay down our life, everything takes care of it. In Christianity, if you lay down your life, everything will take care of itself. It's that simple.
It is. And Randy, when did you last hear a sermon on coveting?
That was good, Coach. You never hear that, Coach.
Amen.
Never. Share. We have to share. Have to share. And what did Paul just say? You don't have to share.
Never.
You don't have to share. Paul said, just told us. You don't work, you don't eat. You don't have to share. Share is charity. It comes out of your heart. See? Something that coerces you to share, that's antichrist. If you're coerced or forced to share, that's not of Christ. It's not of Christ. And so our whole mental approach to the way we deal with people is totally, completely man-centered and upside down. Boys and girls, you deserve the work of your brow. You deserve it. You earned it. It is yours. And you have no obligation to share it with anyone else. Although a Christian heart will share with those who are in need, but not through coercion. So I'll start sharing when you stop coveting. You ever heard that? You ever heard of anything from that perspective? Blew me away.
Coach.
Yep.
That was a good article. And I've been using some of that, and I'm going to use it even more. But, you know, and you think about it, you just said what I was going to say. You hear thousands of messages on God loves a cheerful giver. And it's good to give. But that's all one-sided you hear.
It's all one-sided. Share, 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 share. Here, take what you have and give to somebody. Give and it shall be given unto you. Heaped up, pressed down, running over. Shall men give into your bosom. Give, 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 give. And I do, and I do, and I agree with it. But nobody ever says anything to those bums that are coveting. Those immigrants that want to come across the border. Why they want to come across the border? Because they get free stuff. They're coveting all this free stuff that we have. And Christians are saying, well, we have to let them in. We have to love them. Not if they're coveting, we don't. They're violating the 10th commandment, which go to Exodus 20 and read it. Go look at the depth. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not covet. And gives all two sentences to coveting. And yet we ignore it. Ignore it. Communion tomorrow. Bring your, BYOJ. Bring your own juice. We'll have a good communion.
So much sense.
Yeah, I'll do my best. Bring your own blood. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless you.